Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Thank you for joining me this morning. I have two guests with me. They are my daughters. And so I would like to introduce Hillary.
Hello.
And Madison.
Hello.
And I just appreciate them for joining me on my first podcast episode. And I thought it might be important to explain the title of the podcast, Overwhelming Joy. So what I invite you to do is grab a piece of paper or your journal, take out a pen or a pencil, and literally write down at the moment, in your now, what is overwhelming you? I'll tell you, in my season of life, empty nesting, I have three children. I'm a lolly to two grandchildren. So the first thing that comes to my mind in this season is I could potentially be overwhelmed by my aging parents and my aging father-in-law. I could go down that road of their health and my ability to care for them honorably, and I could be consumed in the reality that life is fleeting. Hillary, is there anything you would be willing to share that is potentially overwhelming in your now?
Yeah, sure. I'm in a season of some transition and some change. I have a new job, you could say, and we'll be moving to a new place. And so in this season of a lot of unknowns and a lot of change, there's a potential to be overwhelmed with all of those things and even fear, overwhelming fear of what will come.
Madison, is there anything that you potentially could be overwhelmed with in your now that you'd be willing to share?
Sure. I am a school teacher, and my son just started his first week of school pre-K last week, and I didn't realize the schedule was going to be pretty grueling. And so busy schedule can be overwhelming, just having to get to places and kind of time managing you instead of you managing your time. So that could be overwhelming. Work, you know, just stresses about work. So I think in this season, I'm also going through a house change as well. Almost overwhelming stress and just the stresses of life, overwhelming.
That's good. That's good. I'm going to pray for us this morning, and then we're going to get into God's word, which is our center for God's truth in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us. And I am just so honored by the treasures and the gifts that sit at my table that you have given me. In your Son Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, first of all, let's look at the word overwhelmed. And let's just look at the dictionary definition, Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition. There's actually three, so we're going to refer to them as like an A, B, C. And A, overwhelm, to cover over completely, submerge. The example sentence is the city was overwhelmed by flooding. So we understand that context. Let's look in scripture. Let's look at Nahum 1:8. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end to Nineveh. Understand the context of that word, overwhelmed. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. So we all understand. Okay, let's look at B, to overcome by superior force. Example sentence, the city was overwhelmed by the invading army. Let's look in scripture. Exodus 17:13. So Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Daniel 11:22. Then an overwhelming army will be swept away before him. So we understand that contextually. And let's look at the last one. To overcome in thought or feeling, overwhelmed by terror, overwhelmed with grief, or a sense of inadequacy overwhelmed me. Let's look in scripture. Psalm 55:5. Fear and trembling came upon me, and horror overwhelmed me. Psalm 142:3. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Job 15:24. Distress and anguish fill him with terror. Troubles overwhelm him like a king poised to attack. So do we see in scripture where overwhelm is used that Merriam-Webster's dictionary gave us examples for?
Yeah.
Okay, so why would I have named the podcast Overwhelming Joy? If you would turn with me to Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, depending on which translation you're looking at. Let me read that again. Isaiah 61:10. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, my God. So let's look back at those Merriam-Webster dictionary definitions. To cover over completely. What if we thought of God as our complete covering? To overcome by a superior force. What if we thought of being covered by God and his deity? To overpower in thought or feeling. What if we were so overwhelmed in spirit, mind, and body that our turning was in gladness, in an abundance of his overflow, that it pervaded any stress or distressing thought that we could allow in? So what I ask for you to do now is to take a crayon or a colored pencil or a highlighter and literally color, cover over what you wrote down that was initially overwhelming. And as you do that simple action, call upon him in mind and spirit to be your complete superior covering. And even join with me as we say Isaiah 61:10. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. If you would join me. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. So now I want to ask Hillary, would you start by turning in scripture to Isaiah 12 and reading 1 through 6 to just help us see, you know, the Word of God is living, breathing, active. And in that Word, it gives us direction, advice, steps, things that we can put into practice so that we can keep our perspective on Him, our center. So while you listen to Hillary read these verses, Isaiah 12, 1 through 6, be mindfully jotting down what it is in this scripture that is leading us to continue to seek in him overwhelming joy.
Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to the Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you so much. Some of the things I wrote down were give thanks. In fact, that was mentioned twice. Madison, is there anything that you jotted down from that?
Yeah, a lot of good things. Comfort, trust, salvation, strength, joy, sing praises, call upon his name, let it be known.
I also jotted down, behold God. I think sometimes we are offered the opportunities of this world to be consumed by everything that Satan is trying to lure us into a trap of, because he wins every time he can trap us and distract us. But if we can remain in a posture to behold God, then that keeps us centered on him. So often it is the what that is happening and the how something is going to happen instead of the who he is that controls it all. Madison, if you would you read from Psalms 16:11? Again, be listening for what it is that we can open-handedly receive to keep us in the posture of receiving his overflow.
Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Hillary, what stuck out to you that would keep us in a posture of seeking and centering only on him and not the world's pull?
I think what stuck out for me was presence connected to joy. That it's in his presence, that's where the joy is.
So would you agree then that when we are not happy, when our happy meter is at the bottom, and when we're frazzled, that potentially a question we can ask ourselves is, where are we in relationship to his presence?
Yeah.
Do you all feel he's the one that's ebbing and flowing and moving away from us?
No.
Who's doing the moving?
No, we are for sure.
Yeah, we are for sure. I've been there. I've been in that posture of crying and saying, God, where are you? And then I realize he's never left. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's trailed away, consumed in something else that's pulled me away from coming in pursuit of him on the daily. Madison, would you read from Jeremiah 29:11?
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Who knows the plans?
He does.
God.
But I want to know them. I'm OCD. I'm a list maker. And sometimes I question that, what if I don't make the right call? You know, I'm given options. What if I don't get it right? And I don't want demise or failure. Maddie, would you read that again? Let's listen to it again.
Mm-hmm. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Hope. Our hope has to remain in him. How much does faith play in hope?
I think in essence, hope is putting your faith in something that you can't see. And we know from the Bible that faith is putting your hope in something that we can't see. So they're very similar.
Hillary, would you read Hebrews 11, 1 through 3?
Yeah. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible.
So we can't see God in the form he is in, but we know he is there by what he has created. And our faith in him, the being of deity, should allow us the hope and the assurance that he has our path. He has our future. So that the question I try to ask myself is not, how is that going to turn out? Or why is this happening? But who it is that I just need to get to know more. The characteristics and attributes of God, my creator, of his son, Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit can reveal to me from the truths of his word.
Yeah. I'd like to read the next two verses, because you said, I think a lot of people, when they hear, I know the plans I have for you, they're like, what plans? You know, and they go down that track just like you did. So as you were saying that, I kind of read on. And so Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13, directly after he says, I know the plans I have for you. It's almost like he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows what we're going to say to that. And he says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. So we can say, well, what are the plans? What do you have for me? What's the future? And we can come and we can pray to him and he will hear us. And then 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He doesn't say you will know all the plans and you will know your future and exactly what to do. But he says, I will hear you and you will find me, just like you were saying, like when we find him, the rest of it we don't need anymore, because we have that faith and assurance and hope in him. So the closer we're getting to him, the less we need all the particulars, all the A, B, C, D. This is exactly how my life is going to go.
That is so good. And I loved the seek me with all your heart, because it reminds me again, he knows our motive. He knows our posture. He's not Santa Claus. He's not the magic eight ball. He's not the vending machine of gifting. He knows when we come to him and we say help, the motive behind our need for him. It's not, he's not always going to pull us out of the disaster. He's just going to cover us while we are in it, because he has a greater purpose for us to get through it. It's changing us in character. That's what he wants to do, is to transform us.
I think that's beautiful and such a good point too, with like the specifics of what's happening in this passage. You know, it's a letter to the exiles, and so they are in a place that's not their own home. They're in captivity. And you know, before what we just read, in the letter, it's telling these people, hey, build houses, live there, plant gardens, take wives, and seek the welfare of this city that you're living in. And I think about, how can these people do that? How can they live in a place that's not their own? You know, I'm sure they're asking God, God, what are you doing? We're in captivity. We're not in our promised land that you gave us. Where are you? What are you doing? And he's telling them, you know, be faithful. I know the plans I have for you. Seek me. You're going to find me. And so if anyone could be asking that question, it's these people in the midst of it. And I see myself in that so often. And that's where they're told, no, you can find joy in the midst of what seems the most impossible situation. And think of how beautiful God will be glorified when the other people are looking onto them. And these exiles are able to live beautiful lives of joy in the presence of these circumstances.
That's amazing. You're right. That quality of living out of his overflow. And no matter how dire or delighted we are at the minute, the moments of life, that we have his overwhelming joy possible for us at all times. I'm going to end us with one little thing. I watched the Blue Angels documentary on Netflix.
It's Madison, amazing.
I know you
highly
saw
recommend.
It. My grandson, Mickey, her son, is into aircraft, Army, B-17s. Madison has seen it. Hillary, did you see the Blue Angels documentary on Netflix?
Never heard of it.
Okay, so one of the things I appreciated about it was the ability for them to hold themselves accountable, to not think of themselves, the individual, but to for always remember that it is bigger than us. Their maneuvers of one plane, as closely as they are flying in formation, will negatively or positively immediately impact another pilot. And this is for life or death. So to keep them in that frame of mind that this is so much bigger than I, than me. When they enter into any room where another individual is, they say, glad to be here. Glad to be here. Because they are reminding each other that they have framed themselves into, my purpose is larger than self. Well, in looking at the word rejoice and in the study of that, which we will do in another episode, but the early Christians and Jesus himself would walk into a room and they would use rejoice as a salutation, because upon entering that room and meeting someone, instead of a hello, it was a purposeful expression of, I am gladdened by being here with you. So what I offer for you is the same thing the Spirit has revealed and called over me in my now, is that I keep that frame of mind that I am gladdened by God. The morning I wake up, I am gladdened by you, Lord. I don't even know the day ahead of me. I don't know the calls I'm going to get. I don't know the texts I'm going to receive. I don't know the turmoil or the trauma or the delights and the rewards and the blessings, but it doesn't matter, because my life on this earth is bigger than myself. The purpose is so much more about his kingdom work, and that I am playing a very, very small role. But just like the maneuvers of the Blue Angels, if I do not stay in step with his call over my life and the formation he is asking me to walk in, then I may negatively or positively direly impact someone very close to me. So I just want to offer a space for each of you daughters to say one closing thing before we wrap up this first episode of Join Us on the Journey of Overwhelming Joy.
Yeah, I just want to say that I so agree. I mean, God's purposes are for his kingdom, and we get to be a part of that kingdom and seeing the kingdom come here on earth. And as You're just talking about being a part of that greater purpose. I mean, what greater purpose could we have than being a part of God's kingdom coming? And I think it's such a good reminder of when my eyes or my focus tend to come to myself, I am reminded of how much the King gave for me, and that I'm connected to that, but it's for his greater purpose of building his kingdom to come. So, yeah.
Yes.
That's good. Just starting with, you know, what you are feeling overwhelmed with, and then kind of going through what keeps popping up is how close you are in proximity to God. Mm. When I feel the most overwhelmed by the things of this world, I am probably thinking and too close to the things of this world. Mm. And when I feel joy and peace and patience and strength and gratitude, I am thinking more of God and on godly things and surrounded by godly people and in his presence, you know. So it's a good reminder that how we are feeling doesn't have to stay consistent with what's going on around us. And we can have all those promises that God gives Jeremiah and Isaiah, mm-hmm. and those same promises we have today, and we don't have to wait until heaven to get them. They can start right now. They're offered to us. He's waiting just to hand them over to us and overwhelm us with that joy and that peace. So
thank you so much. We're going to leave you with a few things that we gathered from scripture today. If you are overwhelmed and you are seeking overwhelming joy, remember, give thanks, behold God, trust, meet him. He is in your presence. Draw joy. Make known his deeds to others. Sing praises. Shout and seek him with all your heart. He knows your plans. He's got you. Girls, Hillary, Madison, I am gladdened by you, but I am gladdened more by our God. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.